As we turn to God's Word, let us pray for God's illumination. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, and prepare our hearts to hear and accept your Word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from John, the 9th chapter, and is a long verse. But, friends, it is a marvelous story, and one that I think all of us can gain from. So, listen for God's Word, John 9, 1 through 41. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus' disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned so that he was born blind, this man or his parents?" And Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents. This happened so that God's mighty works might be displayed in him. While it's daytime, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said this, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smeared the mud on the man's eyes. And Jesus said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went away and washed. When he returned, he could see. The man's neighbors and those who used to see him when he was a beggar said, "Ha! Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." Another said, "No, it's someone who looks like him." But the man said, "Yes, it is me." So they asked him, "How are you now able to see?" He answered, "The man they called Jesus made mud, smeared it on my eyes, and said, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And so I went and washed, and then I could see." They asked him, "Where is this man?" He replied, "I don't know." Then they led the man who had been born blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus made mud and smeared it on the man's eyes on the Sabbath day. So Pharisees also asked him how he is able to see. And the man told him, "He put mud on my eyes. I washed. And now I see." Some Pharisees said, "This man isn't from God because he breaks the Sabbath law." While others said, "How can a sinner do miraculous signs like these?" So they were divided. Some of the Pharisees questioned the man who had been born blind again. "What do you have to say about him since he healed your eyes?" He replied, "He is a prophet." The Jewish leaders didn't believe the man had been blind and received his sight until they called for his parents. The Jewish leaders asked them, "Is this your son? Are you saying he was born blind? How can he now see?" His parents answered, "We know he's our son. We know that he was born blind. But we don't know how he sees. And we don't know who healed his eyes." "Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they feared the Jewish authorities. This is because the Jewish authorities had already decided that whoever confessed Jesus to be the Christ would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why his parents said, he's old enough, ask him. Therefore, they called a second time for the man who had been born blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know this man's a sinner. The man answered, I don't know whether he's a sinner. Here's what I do know. I was blind, and now I see. They questioned him, what did he do to you? How did he heal your eyes? The man replied, I already told you, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become a disciple too? They insulted him. You're his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't know where this man is from. The ex-blind man said, this is incredible. You don't know where he's from, yet he healed my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. God listens to anyone who is devout and does God's will. No one has ever heard of a healing of the eyes of someone born blind. If this man wasn't from God, he couldn't do this. And the Pharisees responded, you were born completely in sin. How is it that you dare to teach us? Then they expelled him. Jesus had heard that they expelled the man born blind. Finding him, Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. And Jesus said, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, I have come into the world to exercise judgment, so that those who don't see can see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard what he said and asked, surely we aren't blind, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you wouldn't have any sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. These are the words of God.
Thanks be to God.
You know, as much as we sympathize with a person who is blind, we sighted folks just don't know what a blind person goes through. When Connie and I were living in Point Pleasant, we got to know a couple who were both blind, Buck and Marianne Saunders. I had seen and been aware of Buck in Huntington around the Marshall campus when he and I were students. Some 20 years later, he had a job with the state in Point Pleasant area, and I was there with the power company. They raised two sighted daughters. It was amazing to see them function in their blindness. They participated in church activities and became elders. Buck would bring his Braille Bible to church and read the scripture for the day in a very powerful voice. Buck and Marianne later moved to Huntington and joined the Beverly Hills Church there. And I would see them periodically when we had moved back to Huntington. At that, see them at the Y. They were also very involved with Federation for the Blind. And they have been great examples for all. Buck has passed away, but they were deeply faithful to the Lord. They are thought of as strange because they use a white cane to get around, tapping the ground on either side of their path. Yes, they were treated differently because of their handicap. But in reality, we are the ones who are blind to their significance. Many times we have closed our eyes and our minds to folks who are blind like them. Now, don't you just love the scripture for this morning? There's such detail in the story, and I know it took a long time to read, but it's really interesting. Interestingly, Jesus does not seem to be the main character. There is a story here that we can apply to our lives. And I think Buck and Mary Ann, when I read this, or any story dealing with blindness. Unlike Buck, our blind man today could not get work, and so he was left to beg. This account is not like the healing miracles by Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels. Here it is an instructional declaration, much like what we saw 2 weeks ago with Nicodemus. Many of the accounts in John are of this nature. The text details an act by Jesus, followed by a series of dramatic proceedings growing out of Jesus' act. Jesus himself appears only at the beginning and the end. In other words, Jesus heals the man, disappears from the narrative, and reappears at the end to receive, confirm, and vindicate the blind man, who is now healed and now has become a believer. One might believe it is more than coincidence that the outline of the account corresponds to the story of the church, which is, Jesus comes with a blessing and instruction. Jesus departs. Jesus will return with justification for his church. The time of Jesus' absence in the text and reality is no picnic. In fact, the man born blind understandably would have said to himself more than once, I never asked to be healed. If this is what it means to be blessed of God, I think I'm willing to give up some divine favors. There is a truth in this story, that God's favor more often leads into rather than away from difficulties. I think we're kind of in the midst of that as we live today. Now, a relationship to God does not remove one from, but often places one in the line of fire. Those who proclaim faith as the succession of pain, suffering, poverty, restless nights, and turbulent days are offering false comfort. Notice what happened to the healed man during Jesus' absence. The drama of what can happen to those blessed by Jesus unfolds in four scenes. In scene one, the healed man tries to go home, but cannot. So radical is the change in him that his reappearance in the old neighborhood generates no joy, no celebration, no welcome home, only questions and doubts. His insistence that he is the same man gains mixed responses. He was formerly known well among these people. His stumbling and hesitant walk, his dependency and his poverty were his identity. They defined his place in the community. Now he walks upright, assured of his place and direction, quite independent, only to discover that he has no place anymore. Who are you? Who is this Jesus? Where is he? I don't know. In scene 2, the healed man is hauled before the religious leaders. They are interested in all reported miracles, especially if performed by unauthorized individuals, and most especially if done in violation of some law. Such is the case here. The healing occurred on the Sabbath, leaving them in a quandary. If this man is truly healed, it was done by someone with the power of God. But if the healing took place on the Sabbath, then it was done by someone opposing God's law, or at least the rules that man had generated. Further investigation is needed. Scene 3 finds the parents of the healed man being grilled by the religious leaders. Yes, he is our son. Yes, he was born blind. But no, we don't know what happened. No, we don't know who did it. He's an adult. Why don't you ask him? Whatever joy they may have had is drowned in fear. Expulsion from the synagogue and social disgrace is a high price to pay for having a son who was especially blessed by God. In the final scene, the man is grilled a second time and more intensely. The authorities, faced with the irrefutable evidence of a healing, try to make the man denounce Jesus as a sinner. The poor man, armed only with his experience and sound logic, cannot believe a sinner could have the power of God. Anger and frustration rule. The man is denounced along with Jesus, and he was expelled as a sinner. Just a little while earlier, the blind man's life was blessed by Jesus. And now, his old friends disregard him. His parents rejected him. And he is no longer welcome at his old place of worship. He must seem dejected. But then, Jesus returns. Jesus reveals himself to the man. I'm a little surprised that the man did not recognize Jesus' voice, but in any event, Jesus was given the chance to disclose that he, Jesus, was indeed the Son of God. The man immediately believed and began to worship Jesus. Friends, the gospel talks about two kinds of sight, physical and spiritual. Let us open our spiritual eyes and see the Lord Jesus. Let us not be like the Pharisees who shut their eyes to the one who is the truth of God, even Jesus, the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, give us sight to see your love and sense your power in our lives and in our future. Take away our fears and anxieties as we do face the future. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In response to God's word spoken to us, let us say what it is that we believe using the affirmation of faith. Colossians 1:15-20. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he might come and have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. Let us turn to God in a word of prayer. Most gracious and holy God, how we give you thanks and praise for this opportunity to come into your presence. Lord, we are blind about so many things, and we pray for your healing touch to see and be part of these things that you would reveal to us. Lord, we lift up our country, we lift up our world during this time of fear. Lord, we know that you are willing and able to heal those folks who have become infected by this terrible, terrible coronavirus. And yet, Lord, we know that it will pass and that you will be honored through this. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is with us, that we can know that you always hear our prayers. Lord, you are the great shepherd. You are our shepherd. And as Psalm 23 expresses it, you give us rest. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are there for us. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for these miracles of being able to transmit when we cannot gather together, but that we can individually see and be a part of your community. We pray for your blessings upon this community of faith and pray that we would be able to take care of those who are hurting. Lord, these and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.